People are hungry today to please God. They're asking, what does God expect? What does the Lord require? And there's a lot of striving, a lot of effort made. And God honors, God loves people to desire to please Him and to do His will and to receive His best. But there seems to be so many, many that feel that their lives are failures in the Christian walk. They move a little ways and then it seems that they slide back a couple of steps. And there's that hunger, that desire, their salvation is secure, but it seems as though they have such a difficult time sensing the victories that God would have them to enjoy. And they have failed to discover the fountain of abundant life, of abundant living. This concerned me this week. I believe, I haven't kept an exact count, but I believe that from the numbers of people coming in, this week has been one of the heaviest weeks that I've ever had in the ministry from the standpoint of people coming for help. And so often the general feeling, it seems like I can't make it for God. And then along with this, I found so much of the feeling, I really wonder if God cares about me. I pray and it doesn't seem like He really answers. I've seen God do things for other people, but He just doesn't care. Just doesn't seem to want to do it for me. And a lot of bad things oftentimes are said. In fact, one man apologized so much. He said, I wonder if God will ever forgive me for saying all these bad things that I said about Him today. I told him that he was safe because God didn't want to hear that kind of stuff. So he turned all the sound down. Didn't listen. And I'm not just saying this in fun. If God were to listen to all that we have to say in some of these areas, we'd really be in trouble. All of us. In fact, if God were to reward us according to our iniquities, who would stand? I'd like to have the person that feels that if they were to be rewarded only on the merit of their goodness, and as a result would be penalized for their mistakes and their failures, but they have reached a point where they can definitely stand before Him complete, alone, on that basis. I'd like to have you come and stand here. I made that so confusing. I might have to have a whole lot. But that's just how confused I get when I see people trying to make it on their own. I wonder if there is anybody here, though, that has ever felt or maybe even feels this morning like God has quit listening to you and that He might even be responsible for some of the bad times that you're having. Don't be dishonest about it by keeping your hand down if you feel this way, because God knows already how you feel. But I wonder how many there are that have felt that way or may feel that way this morning. Can I see your hands? There's a few that are real honest. I think at one time or another, most of us may have been guilty of this. But our abundant life rests on our concept of God, on our view of God. When we see God in a warped fashion, now the enemy, all through the Bible, I made a little study of this, all through the Bible, when he would endeavor to hurt an individual, he would point at God, and what he was saying may have had a basis of truth, but he took the truth and kind of twisted it so it didn't come out right. Like those mirrors that make you look all different ways. That's you that's making that image in there, but it's got you warped. Well, the enemy it gives a warped view of God, like with Adam and Eve. He told the truth when he said, hath God said, you will not eat of the fruit. But the context put God in a bad light. He doesn't want you to know as much as he knows, and so on. A warped view of God. God has a design, a scheme here. He's being unfair to you. And so Satan follows that through all the way. I have a little letter written by a man that felt this way one time. And we might put a lot of different names in here. I'll tell you what this man's name was a little later on. I am the man who has seen afflictions that come from the rod of God's wrath. He has brought me into deepest darkness, shutting out all the light. He has turned against me. Day and night his hand is heavy on me. He has made me old and has broken my bones. He has built forts against me and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He buried me in dark places like those long dead. He has walled me in. I cannot escape. He's fastened me with heavy chains. Oh, boy, I've heard this given three or four times already this week. And though I cry and shout, he will not hear my prayers. I've tried that, they said. He has shut me into a place of high, smooth walls. Can you visualize that? He has filled my path with detours. Anybody have any detours in their lives that you want to succeed? He's filled my life with detours. He lurks like a bear, like a lion, waiting to attack me. He has dragged me into the underbrush and torn me with his claws. He left me bleeding and desolate. He has bent his bow and he aimed it squarely at me and sent his arrows deep within my heart. My own people laugh at me all day long. They sing their ribald songs. He has filled me with bitterness and given me the cup of deepest sorrows to drink. He has made me to eat gravel and broken my teeth. He has rolled me in ashes and dirt. Wow. I tell you, this guy was really having a rough, wasn't he? I think he was talking to some of us. Got some bad ideas here. When we've been down. Oh, Lord, all peace and all prosperity have long since gone. For you have taken them away. I have forgotten what enjoyment is. You relate to that? All hope is gone. My strength has turned to water, for the Lord has left me. Oh, remember the bitterness and the suffering you have dealt to me. For I can never forget these awful years. Always my soul will live in utter shame. Oh, what a commentary of a man viewing God in the wrong perspective. You see, it's so easy for us to get facts and opinions mixed up. It may have been a fact that he had some detours. It may have been a fact that some things went wrong, but it was only his opinion that God wasn't listening to him, that God didn't care, that God wouldn't hear. So we need to be careful not to get our facts and opinions all mixed up. It may be a fact that you're down, but it's not a fact that God's dead and he's forgotten you. And this man made that discovery. And he said, what in the world have I been doing? God said, I didn't listen to this, but here, let me turn your head a little bit. See things as they really are, not the way they seem to look. And the next verse, he says, oh, look, there's a ray of hope. His compassion never ends. It is only the Lord's mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Great is His faithfulness. His loving kindness begins fresh every day. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for Him, to those who seek Him. It is good both to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. How in the world could the same man have written this and with only a period between? He was looking at it through the enemy's glass. And God said, here, let me show you how it really is. What I'm telling you, our secret of life, an abundant life, is based on the glimpse we have of God, on our concept of God. If your concept fits those first verses that I read, you're going to have a rough time. I want you to know that every day of your life can find something that's real bad and real miserable. But when you start looking, saying, why, look, God did this and this and this and this and this and this, so He must not have been responsible for these other things. This is what He's doing. He's leading me out. His compassions are fresh and new every day. You find yourself in a kind of a tight spot today, thank God that every day He turns a page and a brand new outflowing of compassion and love to you. Those words were from the lips of Jeremiah. And a book that God allowed to be preserved to show how low a person can get. And it's called The Lamentations. And I think that God has written down, in some cases, or at least people have done a lot of recording, their lamentations. But I thank God that the Lord allowed Jeremiah to see it differently and give us a road map into the real abundant life that God has for us. So, God's Word is given to us to reveal Himself as He really is. And one of the real bad problems that people have is that they've listened to people, they've listened to the devil, but they haven't taken His Word to hear what God really is like. The negative view that the enemy would have you to see is, God is against us. But the view that God wants you to have, and that we just read here, is that God is for us. And then we can say, like with Paul over in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then Paul listed all of these things that were listed here. And he said, can these things separate us from the love of God? No. I'll never be able to do it. Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So today, I wanted to lift your eyes, help you to have the kind of a glimpse of God that will help you to get right down into the watering hole that God has provided, where the water of life bubbles free, and you can have that abundance within. I read the words over in John 17:23. We're not going to take the time to turn to some of these, but it would be well if you wanted to get them down. Jesus was praying, and He said, God has so much love for you. Sometimes we wonder, well, does God really love me? And if He does love me, how can I measure it? Is there some type of ruler that I can measure His love? And so Jesus was talking to the Father, and He wasn't trying to prove a point. He wasn't even trying to start a new doctrine. All He was doing was reminding God of something that was already there. He said, Father, I want those people to see. I want it to be revealed to them that you love them just as much as you love me. Wow. How much did God love Jesus? If you can come up with some type of a reading on how much God loved Jesus, shove Jesus out of the spot and shove yourself in. Because Jesus said, you love them as much as you love me. Hallelujah. Oh God, may we feel the warmth of your love. But each one here, dear God, is an object of your love. Oh, we thank you, we praise you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because his compassions never fail, they're new every morning. Some of you in the King James, by the way, I was reading from Lamentations chapter 3, and those verses that I want you to remember, you can forget those first ones, because they're not going to do you any good if you start acting like that. But if you start with verse 21 through 26, you'll read about his compassions that never fail. They're new every morning. Praise God. Then I'd like to read a couple of verses here from 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20 and 22. Had a couple of men working in one of the offices yesterday, and I kind of slowed them down and hindered them in their work because I had to try out some of these verses on them. Of course, they liked them too. So I figured, well, they've had a good test now, and so I'm going to use them on some of the rest of you. This is what God is really like, a revelation of what he's like from his word. We're going into a broader depth of this in our Wednesday night study on the bird's eye view of the Bible. We're taking each of these and expanding what, not only just a spot in the Bible, but we're going to have a revelation of God himself through the entire word. But I'd like to read from 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20. Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you have done this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. There are people who have stumbled, they've fallen, they've become rebellious, and they're laying flat on their face, afraid to get up and move because their concept of God is wrong. They see him as a mighty executor or executionist who stands there with his foot on their back and a club raised. You dare wiggle. You've had it. There are people that really feel this way about God. But God wants us to see him here, and that's why he said, fear not. You have done this wickedness. And I want you to know it was a great wickedness that they had done there. But he said, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Hallelujah. There's some here today that have turned aside, and you're wondering, now, is there hope? God gives a message of hope this morning. Don't lay down on a job. Don't feel you've gone and done it and throw your life away. Turn your life back to him. As he said here, don't turn aside, because God made a promise. He will not forsake his people. Praise God. Hey, let me give you another verse of scripture here. Job 42:2. Job cried out, is anything too hard for the Lord? We sometimes think, well, this thing is beyond God. He can't do this or he can't do this. But listen, While I was praying about this last night, it seemed like God dropped a little paragraph or a few sentences into my heart. And I'd like to read these to you, and if you can write fast, you might get something that you can use here. And it answers some questions. People say, well, if God can do anything, if He is omnipotent, how come He doesn't do a lot of these other things? And so here's the answer. It comes from heaven. He can do anything, but will only do what infinite wisdom and holiness and love dictate. He will not violate principles of His nature. He can do anything, but will only do what infinite wisdom, holiness, and love dictate. Now, the third thing I want you to see about God, besides His great compassion and love, His faithfulness, His omnipotence, I want you to see the great mercy of God, the divine goodness of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 103, a very precious portion of Scripture that many of you know by heart, but we're going to refer to it again. Anyway, verse 8 through 18. We think, does God care about me? Is there mercy with God? Listen, David knew he needed God's help so badly. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. I'd like to read also from Psalms 89. Just turn back a little bit. In Isaiah 55 and verse 3, the prophet says, through the Spirit, incline your ear unto me and come, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This is what God is telling now. God makes a covenant that He made to David. And a lot of people read what things He's promised to David and said, well, that was David. But He said, incline your ear, come. Everybody that thirsts, come. And I will make this same covenant with you. And here it is. Here is His covenant. Beginning with verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Moms and dads, you have some kids that are away from God, they could get into a pretty rough time. But here's, he tells you what God thinks of those kids of yours, because he's given you the same covenant he gave to David. I wonder how many parents there are here who have members of their family that are away from God, and your heart goes out to them, longing to see them brought to the Lord. Could I see your hands? All over the place. To you I give hope, right direct from the heart of God. And here it is. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, underline this little word, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Hallelujah. Those young people may be suffering the scourge and the rod, but I want you to know that God has his eye on them and hasn't taken his loving kindness away. And when they turn, it will have to be their choice. He will not force them to do something. He will move them to a point of decision. He will prod them till they reach that door. But there he says, here you're on your own. The will of man must come into play here, and a man must choose. But he does say that while they're being beaten with a rod, while they're in trouble because of their wickedness and their rebellion, the loving kindness of God is still there, encircling them. God has his eye on your kids today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to take some renewed hope. I want that faith to spring alive in your heart, because God isn't through with them. He said, I will not take it away. I will not. Praise God. I will not take it away. I will not suffer my faithfulness to fail. And I will not change what I've said to fit somebody's idea. It's spoken. It's recorded in heaven. And it will stand. You believe that? That's his word. Oh, hallelujah. I think right here everybody ought to give God a big word of thanks. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. It's only his faithfulness, folk, that many of us are here. Because God kept his eye on you when you were out there straying. And a godly mother or father had prayed for you. God kept his eye on you. And his loving kindness brought you to a place where you could find him. And you're here today because God did not alter the word that went out of his mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we get this glimpse of God, I'll tell you, it makes a whole lot of difference about the kind of life we can have. That abundant life, not lived in fear and constant turmoil. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that his word gives us such a beautiful revelation of himself. He gives us a revelation of his righteousness through the word. And if you'd like a definition of what righteousness really is in connection with God, we sometimes, so often, think it has to do only with clearing of judgment. But that is just as the result of his righteousness. Here is the definition of what it really means. I feel this comes right from the heart of God to us today. The unfailing ability and knowledge to do what is right. You can count on him to do the right thing. There may be some questions in your mind. I can't understand this and this and this. But you can rest in this assurance. The great God of all the earth will do right. God let Abraham see this. In fact, God dropped it into his heart, and so Abraham spoke to one of God's messengers, and he says, God of all the earth will do right. I don't have to worry about it. I know he'll do the right thing. Praise God. He will do right. Do you know to do what is right? To do that thing that is right. Was the mission one of the missions of the Holy Spirit? You read it in John 16:8. Jesus was telling, when he is come, he is going to convince the world that God will do the right thing. And he is doing the right thing by them. This is what he said. He'll convince the world of righteousness. You read over in You might take these verses. They'll help you to get that right view of God. Romans 3, 24 and 26. Paul was trying to let the people know that God was clearing the guilty, counting them as justified when they came to Jesus. And so he said that God had made him the propitiation, the covering for sin, that he was removing the thing that kept man from God, because the great plan of God was to restore man and back into fellowship with him. And so, as he gave this, he said that he is declaring at this time his righteousness, that he did the right thing, that he could still be just and justify people that had sinned. Only God could be just and justify somebody that was guilty. Did you know that? A judge couldn't be a just judge if he said that person didn't do it when they did. Paul said this great problem here that faces God, how can he do it? He could do it by making that person as though it never happened. And then he could say, you're free. You didn't do it. How does he do it? He turns us into another person. He said it was the old person that did that. He's born again. A new creature in Jesus. Hallelujah. So he said, in this way, he's declaring to the world his righteousness. He's not going to be unrighteous. Oh no, he will do the right thing. And he'll do the right thing by you. Hallelujah. You can count on him, folks. Glory to God. So when we catch a vision of God this way, we can walk with confidence and faith as we go about our daily tasks, serving him. Praise the name of the Lord. We can have that abundant living. This revelation of God was made very, very real to me just very recently. I hesitated this morning in giving this experience that the Lord made so real to my heart last Saturday night. I've given it several times this week, but there were many people that had heard someone talk a little bit about it and felt, I would like to hear it just exactly from you, as near as you can give it. And rather than give it just to each person individually, I wanted you to hear it from me, free of opinions or questions or thoughts that may be from someone else. Because it was something that may have no meaning to you. You may not be able to relate to it at all. But it was an experience that God allowed me to have that had a profound effect on my own life. And I believe will help me to minister more effectively to people. So I ask you not to be too analytical or to start asking questions. No, what's he trying to prove? I'm not trying to prove a solitary thing. All I'm going to do is tell you how God dealt with me. And any conclusions that you have, they're going to be your own. I'm just going to tell you how God ministered to my heart, so that all of you will have it. And those of you that have heard me give this, would you bear with me in hearing it again? Because there's a lot of the folk who want to know, and it may be an encouragement to them. Last Sunday morning, I had difficulty keeping my mind on the service, the message here, because of a staggering experience last Saturday night. And I don't think of myself as being a dreamer, but maybe I am. They say your old men shall dream dreams. I don't even like to think of that. I like to think that I'm young and bouncy inside. You can't deny the effects of a calendar, but nevertheless, I don't like to think of myself as being just visionary, psychic, some of these other terms. I feel, honestly, that sometimes I'm almost too carnal. I have a thing against super spirituality. So what I'm saying is not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to prove a solitary thing. But there have been times that God has definitely, why he has done it, I don't know. But he has actually let me share in some things that I'm thankful for, but I don't know why. I make reference to the experience that God let me have of practically, and to me it was real, of living in the wilderness with Moses for over a month and seeing the entire beautiful move of God and the cry, "Rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered." I've been able to help a lot of people because I caught a fresh glimpse of God and his care with people and the work of the heavenly hosts in this. But Saturday night, I had my head on my desk praying for the service. And God gave me a very similar experience, only it was an experience for the present and just the days before us instead of going back. There's so many things questions that I couldn't answer that may pop into your mind about this and this and this. Things I wasn't even aware of, I didn't think of at the time. But I was aware, so aware of God's presence and the light of his presence. And the nature of God that I was giving you this morning was so magnified, I could see it more clearly than ever before, that what I read to you this morning is just exactly true, only possibly multiplied over and over. He loves people so much. But the Lord spoke to me clearly and said, "Come with me to the throne room where the secrets of the universe are kept." And in a moment, just like that, I was in God's presence. I don't recall anything about the room or anything else, but I was so aware of God's great unfolding plan, intricate plan, being fulfilled to the nth degree, everything working in perfect harmony, and the unfolding. And I was made to realize so clearly that the fullness of time for various parts of his plan is taking place every day. It's coming, the fullness of time for things he's planned in different lives. And it's such an intricate thing, it staggered the mind. I could well realize what Paul said when he said, you can't transfer that thought into this dimension because it's just too staggering. All that God has taken care of. Stop and think about it, if you will. 3 or 4 billion records. Almost constantly changing. But God's plan every day being fulfilled. The Word speaks of certain times when the fullness of time had come, this happened. Well, the fullness of time is happening all the time. As God has planned for lives, and he's bringing to pass the great plan. God allowed me to go with him. He said to come visit some homes. I was in some of your homes with the Lord. I heard your conversations. I felt real strange that you couldn't see me. But the Lord was there, and it made me realize that the Lord's around listening to us, even when we don't see him. It was a beautiful experience. But all of the experiences that I went through would take a book practically, I think, as big as this if they were all recorded. There were so many things that God let me live through with him, things that are going to be happening in the days ahead. But the exciting thing was that that there was such brightness, laughter and joy. I could see the hosts of angels, thousands, millions of them. In this building, I mentioned last week that there was a population here that we couldn't see. God let me see that population. Now I want you to know they're all over the place. Praise God. God let me see a ring of angels around this place, standing with the men that God has chosen to strengthen my hands, our board, and the leaders of this church. The angels are ringing it. Hallelujah. Because God has chosen to put His name here and to work here. Oh, I tell you, this isn't just a dream. It may be a dream to you, but it did something for me. And it accomplished something in my heart, and I have such confidence, I could kick the devil in the shins every day. Because I know he's defeated. He's a defeated foe. Praise God. I just wanted to say this. This could be a blessing to you. You don't have to feel like you're walking on eggs around the Lord. Afraid you're going to say the wrong thing and think the wrong thing when you're in His presence. Because He already knows. You can't fool Him anyhow. Because He knows what's in your heart. He wants you to be yourself. And all of the heavenly beings, there was no effort. And I felt so this way myself. I felt like just using common, ordinary language with Him, chatting with Him. It was such a beautiful experience, so light, so beautiful. Praise God. Such joy and such warmth. Total absence of piety. I don't know where that came from, churches and people's minds, where they have to be different to God than they really are. God wants you to leave aside those old, that garb of piety. You'll be so happy when you do. Hallelujah. There was laughter. God laughed. The angels were filled with laughter, with joy. I could visualize what Jesus meant when He said there is joy in the presence of the angels. Oh, what joy. The Lord so impressed me with this beautiful truth. Take a look. This earth isn't such a bad place. Might be a lot of snow and ice and cold, and there may be some temporary hardships like everybody's gone through. But He said, and I could hear it over and over again, the whole earth is filled with His glory. He's still in command, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He reemphasized to me that the might of hell isn't going to prevail against His people. That in spite of fears that people have that the church is going down, it's God's people and God's body is moving on. Greater strides than ever before because people are hungry for God. Oh, hallelujah. God, in letting me see what He was doing and the plans, had prepared for me, because it was such a vast thing, I hardly knew where to look at His plans. He had prepared a little chart of something that had to do with us, something that I could relate to, something that had to do with me and my ministry. And he gave it to me. He said, "Here, this is something that you can comprehend." I couldn't comprehend. It's such a vast program that God has going. But he had taken and written on this chart things that pertain to me, to this church, to this area, even some things pertaining to much larger area, even our country. But he let me see these things. And the strange thing, I didn't have a chance to read them. There was a lot of things, probably there were over 100, I haven't counted them yet, but over 100 dates, events, and names on there. There were some individuals that His name's got to put there. But he let me see it, and it was just like taking a picture with a camera. It was immediately transferred to my heart. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't read it. It was just transferred to me. And I haven't forgotten and can never forget one thing that was on that paper. God locked it in my heart, not to spoil his plan, but God in his goodness. And again, I say, why? I don't know. But he let me look over his shoulder what he's doing. But he said, you could spoil my plan for these people if you were to talk to them about it. Say nothing about these unless till he releases it in my heart. If it was a dream, don't be critical of me for having it, because I didn't do it. John did. Or if he didn't, you could put your own explanation. I'm telling you what happened, what I experienced. And because so many have asked me to give this morning, I'm giving it. One thing that God reemphasized over and over was for us to let him worry about his business and to link arms with him and go to work with him. That's one thing I was just so confident of, that, and I feel so good about it, that God isn't going to let us down. Once he has decreed that something shall come to pass, an irreversible force is set in motion that nothing can stop. He tells us, you join arms with me. I give you the privilege of working with me, and we'll be partners together. But if for some reason you don't want to, I'm not going to let your lack of desire stop what I'm doing. I have decreed it's going to happen. You can have the privilege of working with me, or you can deny yourself. But here it is. And that verse of Scripture became so real that if we are filled with unbelief, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's going to go through it. Hallelujah. We need him. We need him. But if he doesn't have people to accomplish his plan, he'll use some angels. And he's already done this in many, many cases. He's gotten some angels behind some people and used those angels to shove them to the door. That's why Jesus, when the people said to Jesus on that first Palm Sunday, as he came to Jerusalem, they said, Jesus, tell your disciples to quit shouting here. Jesus said, hey, that was on God's plan way back there, that there has to be a shout that goes up this time. It was decreed. A force was started. The time has come. It has to happen. If they're quiet, these rocks will have to start shouting, because praise has to come at this time, because it's the fullness of time. The time had come. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Father, it seems so hard to convert these thoughts into human language, to make them surreal. They mean so much to me. Oh, God, I ask that the Spirit will do what I have been unable to do. May we catch that revelation of yourself and of your love. Praise God. This, one of the strange things that happened when It seemed like the Lord was through dealing with me. It seemed like months had gone by. But he brought me back. And as we entered my office, we see the angels in, the host of angels through this place. But I could see myself sitting there, my head down, just to show you the humor that around God, you don't have to be pious. I said, Lord, I sure didn't know the back of my head was getting that white. And he kind of smiled about it. And I always look at it from the other side. When I realized that what had taken place, it almost seemed like a dream, and I would have felt like it was a dream and not have been able to do a lot with it. Except my own heart was so warm, and I had such a feeling of exhilaration and joy. But when I found myself there in that chair, it was so unbelievable, because God has given me many exhilarating experiences. But for the first time in my life, I had carried something back from that experience. I still had in my hands the paper that he'd given me. With all of these things inscribed on them. And it staggered me. I looked at it. I didn't know what to do with it. And I felt weak. I decided I'd lay it there with some other papers. It was already implanted in my heart. I didn't need that to read. But I laid it there on my desk and went home. I was feeling so good when I was with the Lord. Now I felt kind of fearful, and it was an awesome feeling. And I told my wife about it. I said I didn't know what to do with that paper. It was something that made it come from the area of a vision or a dream to a reality. It was a bridge across. I decided to come real early last Sunday morning, and wanted to look at that paper some more. And there, where I laid it, God had allowed it to disintegrate. Or burn or something, because on that file folder where I laid it, there was a pile of ashes. Nothing else was touched or scorched. Different kind of ashes than I'd ever seen in my life. It was a pretty good sized paper, about half again as wide as a typing paper, with almost transparent, with uneven edges, top and bottom on the sides. It was longer than typing papers. It was a fairly good-sized paper. But that turned to ashes, but not like paper ashes. It looked like snow crystals standing there, and just where the paper had been. Several people came in to see me during the day, and they saw that. I didn't know what to do with it. One lady wanted to dust it off, wondered what I was doing with the ashes on my desk there. And I told, oh, no, don't. I don't know what to do with them yet. But I was in a sense, unnerved, but filled with awe. There were some men that came in and saw these ashes as they came in to visit with me. I didn't know what to do, so Sunday night I took an envelope and put them in the envelope. They're because of the compression of putting them in a small place, they pulverized. They're finer. They're not like ashes. It's finer than gunpowder. It has broken down into fine particles. The ashes, I don't believe, are something that God wants me or anybody else to put their eyes on. That isn't the important thing. And I mention this merely to say that it did unnerve me, but it acted as a confirmation, as a clinching of the nail of truth, that the things written on that were true. Two of the things that were on that happened this week, just exactly the way God put them down. And as I said, I'm not trying to prove a thing. Unless God releases, I may never mention these things, but I do know that I'm going to be able to minister to people because of it. There are people that associate with this body that are entering into leagues with God, that God is going to bless them and open up His valve from heaven because of this. I know it. It's down there. I have some dates and names of some individuals when they're going to leave this life. I'm going to be able to help them, encourage them, and I'm going to tell them. There's some other things that are going to happen, but it isn't something as advanced knowledge as much as God let me have a visit with Him, and it's encouraged my heart. And I know this, that what we're reading about God here in the Word is true. He wants you to see Him as He is, to have that right view of God. And when you have the right view of God, it's going to take care of a whole lot of other problems you have. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. One of the things I'll have to mention to you. God seemed to take me to a little church, or I couldn't see the size of the church, but there were people that really needed help, and we were ministering. It was something in the very near future, and I could see the name of the church, which is the same as ours, but it wasn't our church. It wasn't our people. On Monday, I received a telephone call, and this young pastor said their church had been seeking God because there were so many needs that only God could help them. God had put my name on their hearts. And so on Monday, I received this call. It isn't a big place, a place where there's needs. I decided I'd go if I possibly could help them. I didn't know if this was the place or not until my wife called back to find out the time when the service started, to see if the planes could make connection. And she said that she almost got cold chills when they answered the phone. Christian Life Center, which was the name that God let me see on this place. So I'll be going on February the 20th in the evening, the little town called Port Orchard, Washington. Another thing God let me see so clearly was a young lady definitely needing help. I was ministering to her on a Tuesday night. She came, and I almost was taken aback because she was just exactly God put in my heart. God delivered her. Praise God. I don't know what you think of this, but I would ask you, don't be analytical. Try and say, well, what about this and this and this and this and this? I'm not trying to prove one solitary thing. I just wanted you to know how God dealt with me. And I don't have to, I'm not going to try and it's not my responsibility to make anything happen. But he just let me see what he's going to do. Praise God. I give this morning because there were many of you that had asked me, and you'd heard it from others. I wanted you to know that the impact it had on my heart. There's many things I could tell you about this, and I may not have told it the same each time, because there's so many different aspects of the way God has ministered. But I will say this morning, if you've been discouraged, about ready to give up, or if you've been hungering and searching after God, give Him everything you've got. Slip your hand in His. If you've been fighting Him, if you've been following afar off, move in close. Because we're living in the greatest days of all history. Praise God. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Hallelujah. 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 Living for God is the most exciting life you could possibly ever have. You believe that? Oh, praise God. I feel that in whatever we do for God, God has a purpose in it. And this morning, there may be people here, and I believe that there is, that in my givingness, you've been challenged. There have been questions in your mind, but you feel and your heart is telling you this is true. God is real. I want you to make that reach out. Slip your hand in God's afresh and anew. If you've never known Him, take a hold of His hand. Throw yourself into the work of God like you've never done before. Because we're entering into days that are the greatest days. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right where we're seated now, I'm going to ask that we bow our heart before the Lord. Father, I thank You for the revelation of Yourself through Your Word. And I thank You, God, that the revelation that You gave to me confirms Your Word. It's not different. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I don't know why, God, You entrusted me with a visit into the very throne room of heaven. But I thank You for it. And it's had an effect on my own heart, my life. I love You so much. But God, there are some people here today that whose hearts are telling them, reach out. God loves you. He wants you. He has room for you. He's calling your name. Jesus, today, help them to answer Your call. While our hearts are bowed before the Lord. I wonder how many there are through this congregation who feel that God has spoken to your heart. Whether you've known the Lord or have never known Him, and you want to move in closer to Him and be your best for Him, be ready for the days before us. Can I see your hands through the building? Up in the balcony. Oh, there's many, many, many. God has ministered. God has spoken to hearts. God sees that hand. God sees your heart. And He wants you to know that He cares. He has something so real for you. And He'll keep His word for you. He said that if you would accept Him, if you would call on the name of the Lord, you'd be saved. He said He would blot out, separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. He said He wouldn't reward you according to and give you what you had coming, but He'd give you what Jesus had coming to Him. Praise God, because your faith is in Him. Jesus, I thank You for these many lives today. Things will never be the same for them because they have entered into a pact with a supernatural God. Jesus, I ask that uncertainties, that questionings that have been in their mind regarding your love for them will be washed away right now because of the warmth of your smile. And Jesus, I ask that miracles will happen daily because you're here, because of your care and your love and the power of your name. Praise God forever. We thank you, Lord, that you have permitted us today to come into your holy presence. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask right now that every person stand before the Lord. If you feel like it, lift your hands toward heaven. If you believe that what I'm telling you this morning is the truth, even if you can't understand it, if you thank God for caring enough about us to let us know, I want you to lift those hands and thank the Lord right now.